Well, hello, everyone. This is Chris McLaughlin, and welcome to the D Group Leader Podcast. So glad that you joined us today for episode 24. We're going to continue in our discussion on why theology matters, and we're going to be talking about worldview today. Before we get into our topic, I do want to just give you a quick reminder. D Group Leaders, we would love for you to be at the D Group Leader Meeting on March 15th. That's coming up in just a few weeks. We got like four more weeks. It's going to be from 12:30 to 2 o'clock in the house. That's the student room behind the cafe. And listen, we're gonna provide lunch. I've got some feedback. We're going to actually provide childcare. We want you to be there. And if you have kids and it's prevented both of you from, like, both you and your spouse from being at the D Group Leader Meeting, we want to provide that for you so that you can bring your kids. They'll get lunch too. They'll be cared for while you're both at the meeting. We think that's really important for you guys to be there. And here's really the reason why. Ultimately, what we want to do with these meetings is we want you to leave every single one of these D Group meetings feeling encouraged and feeling excited about being a D Group leader. And that's the goal. We want you to leave ready to go out there and tackle this really important job that you have in front of you. You guys are so important to the life of our church, and we want to give you every resource that we can to do the job that the Lord is asking you to do. We want to equip you and help you to do that. So make room in your life to be at the D Group Leader Meeting on March 15th, 12:30, right after church. There's a RSVP that's going to be in the email that I'm sending out this week, so please click on that RSVP. Let me know that you're going to be there. That would be great. Now let's get into our topic. We're talking why theology matters, and this is part three of our series on this, and we've talked through a number of different reasons why, but today what I want to do is get into why it matters, and really it's about worldview, and maybe we don't really know what worldview is. This is kind of a newer term that's only been around for a little while, but the idea of worldview is that this is the lens. Everybody has one, and this is the lens through which we view the world around us. Okay, so it's kind of an understanding of ourselves and the world that helps us to kind of make sense of it all, because there's so much going on, and there's so much what seems like chaos, and it's unsettling at times. So what we do is we form a framework in our minds to help us make sense of all of that. Now, part of God's sanctifying process in our life is to give us a Christian worldview. He wants us to have a worldview that's shaped by Him and His Word. And so He wants to shape you and me and your D Group members so that we all have this worldview that's consistent with Scripture. And this ultimately is pointing to the sufficiency of Scripture, that Scripture is actually where we're going to find this worldview, and that it is enough for us. We're going to talk more about that here in a little bit. Before we get into that, though, I mean, let's just give you a couple examples of what kinds of worldviews there are. And so this is the big distinction that we want to make today, is how do we define a Christian worldview versus, let's just say, a non-Christian worldview, or maybe what we would call like an atheist worldview or a secular humanist worldview. See, when it comes to a non-Christian worldview, and you hear this all the time. I mean, you turn on the TV, this is what's being told to us day in and day out. It's this non-Christian worldview. This would include things like, well, here's a great example, like that humans, people are essentially good, right? Humans are essentially good in the non-Christian world, in the eyes of the non-Christian, and that tells us some things about how we're going to interact with people. That when people sin or when people do things wrong, that it's not that they have a bad heart. It's just that they made a mistake, you know, or they made a bad choice. And that's, you know, those are the things that we tell our kids sometimes, you know, things like that. But is that the Christian worldview? Well, no. See, in the Christian worldview, we see this. We see that humans are made in the image of God, right? But they are also corrupt in every part because of the effects of sin. So every single part of us, that means our bodies, right, are affected by sin. We're going to die. That means our minds are affected by sin. That means that, you know, we forget things. We think wrongly about things. You know, all of that's corrupt. Even our will is corrupt. Our emotions are corrupted. All of that is affected by sin. But it's also not the end of the story either, because in the Christian worldview, we're also loved by the creator of the universe who is holy, good, and righteous, right? So in the Christian worldview, this is going to change some things. So, I mean, just think about the questions that this brings up. How might this shape the way that we think about ourselves? Well, it probably means we're going to say, well, I'm probably going to think twice about what I'm thinking about things. And I'm probably going to go back to God's word because that's going to be my source for truth. How might this inform our sense of independence? So, you know, this last Sunday, Pastor Derek talked about this difference between dependence and independence. But, you know, when it comes to the non-Christian worldview, the non-Christian worldview is saying, no, we can be independent from everybody. And we can be the self-made man and have everything that we want and all that sort of stuff. Where the Christian worldview is saying, no, we're very dependent. In fact, we're dependent on everything. God gives us everything. He gives us life and breath. He sustains us. He made us. He redeems us. He is our source for all things. How might this change the way that we interact with non-Christians? Well, you know, when we talk to non-Christians, we need to come at it from a perspective that everybody is sinful, right? Instead of everybody's essentially good. That totally changes the way that we think about how we're going to talk with them, evangelism and everything. I mean, think about it even with your own kids. If you got young kids at home, how might this worldview change the way you think about your kids? That's a big difference, right? At the very beginning, we would see that kids, if they're not regenerate, they're not transformed by God's grace yet, and so they're sinful and they've got sin in them. And you know, you put a couple 3-year-olds together for about 15 minutes, and you're going to see exactly what we're talking about. So what is the worldview that we're living in right now? Well, see, right now we live in, I mean, we can categorize it in a number of different ways. I'm going to give you just two things that I think that we're seeing. We're seeing that we're living in a postmodern society. And so what does that mean? So prior to probably 1960 or so, we lived in what we would have called like the modern era. And the modern era really had this idea that, you know, our own human advancement, technology, advances in science, advances in philosophy, all these things, eventually we're going to solve all of our own problems. Like we're going to be able to solve all of the issues that we have as a society. And that ultimately led to a perspective called secular humanism. And, you know, in postmodernism, we're really moving away from that. We're seeing a sharp turn away from that, away from the idea of thinking that our own brilliance is going to save us, right? So there's some good things about that. I mean, really moving away from that. But there's also some bad things. Like in postmodernism, we're also seeing relativism. So like moral relativism would be an example where that means there's really no moral absolutes, that everybody is free to do whatever they want to do. And we are not in any position to tell them otherwise, that there's no absolute right or wrong to anything. And I think this also bleeds into religious relativism, this idea where people just think, you know, maybe all roads lead to God. And because of that, we see parents who are not passing their faith down to their kids. We see younger generations who are left to figure it out on their own. And we're seeing more and more people really just giving up on the idea of faith, of church. But people are at the same time very interested in spiritual matters because, you know, with modernism, it was all about, you know, humanity is going to solve its own problems through technology and knowledge and things like that. But now I think there's more of an interest, a rise in this interest in spiritual matters. Like people want to believe that there's something more than just us out there. And they'll turn to other things other than Christ, but they're searching. And that can be actually a really good thing. You know, there's a... The Pew Research Center, this is, you can go online to pewresearch.org and check all this stuff out. And they had another survey that went out in October 19 of 2019. And this is, I think, really interesting. So they were measuring the number of adults who identified as Christians and like different affiliations of Christians, stuff like that. And in 2009, it was 77% of Americans. 77% of Americans identified as Christians. In 2019, last year, last October, it was down to about 65% identifying as Christians, which that seems a little high to me, to be honest with you, but it's kind of interesting. But on the other side, they also asked adults who if they identified as being unaffiliated. This is kind of the category of the nones, like N-O-N-E-S. I'm not in any category religiously. And in 2009, it was only 17% that would be unaffiliated, but that has risen up to 26%. That means that a quarter of the people in America are saying, I am not affiliated with any religious organization whatsoever. I'm not Christian. I'm not anything. And in some ways, I think this is alarming. It's showing that there's just a lot of confusion out there, which I'm sure that we all knew. But at the same time, this can be a little bit of a good thing. And what I think is happening here is we're seeing in our culture less of what we would call cultural Christianity, right? So it's less of just people who are trying to fake it, people who are just rolling into church, doing their hour at church and then calling it a week. There's more people who are really searching, who are really looking for answers, and fewer people that are faking it. And so, what does this mean for you? Your D group is one of your ministries. You know, you have a ministry to your family, you have a ministry to maybe your coworkers, to your neighborhood, but you have a ministry to your D group. And those members that you have, I mean, they're people who are connected to our church for the most part, but you need to, I think, ask yourself this question. What worldviews do you see in your D group? Do you see a biblically centered Christian worldview? Or is it maybe sort of Christian and sort of part of the world? Is it growing? Is it diminishing? I think these are really important questions. Start to evaluate that about your group, because as we start thinking about these questions, that's going to help to shape how you're going to lead the people in your group. It's going to help you to know like what studies to do. It's going to help you to know what conversations to have with them, to be a little bit more attuned to how to lead the individual members of your group. So ask yourself, you know, where are they? Where are they with this? Where do you see your D group members searching? What are they looking for? What questions are they asking about the world? What questions are they asking about the Bible? What topics do they seem to be interested in? What do they seem to care about? These are all really important questions for kind of discerning all of this. So what's the solution? Really, it's just coming back to God's word. I mean, it's amazing. Like I talked about a little earlier, I mean, this really points to the sufficiency of Scripture. The idea is that at every point in redemptive history, God's word is enough. God's word is enough for his people in order for them to understand the world that they live in and how to please God, how to love God and live in that world that he's made for us. You can go all the way back to the very beginning. Genesis chapter 2, right? So God makes the man and the woman, places them in the garden, and you get these commands from God. And these commands are so critical. When you look at what God is doing, he is actually giving them everything that Adam needed to know about the world around him. He's orienting Adam to creation. God is giving Adam his worldview. This is the world. He's like, you know, here it is. All right. This is what I've made for you. He shows him his purpose. This is what you're supposed to be doing. Work the ground, tend the ground, and keep it, protect it, guard it. These are his commands to him. And in God's providence, there's even a restriction for him, for his own protection. And as a way to please God. Like all of that is connected together so that Adam has a worldview that is sufficient. God's word was sufficient for Adam. Now God's word is so much more today. We have so much more of God's word today through his revelation, but it's sufficient. It's still sufficient for us. It's sufficient to shape our worldview. And so for us, we wanna look at how we can help our groups get more into God's word so that their worldview will be more and more shaped around Scripture. So what can we do for that? Well, a couple things. Number one, talk to your group about how they are reading the Bible. Are they in the Word? Are they doing a Bible reading plan? Do they do homework for the lessons that you're doing? So ask them, talk with them about that. See if they're actually getting into God's Word. That is critical. That they need to be in God's Word. There's also a study that I think is really interesting, really good. It's on the list. It's called A Time for Confidence: Trusting God in a Post-Christian Society. And this is really talking about worldview and how the Word shapes our worldview within a post-Christian or post-modern society. So check that one out as well. I will say, our group did that one last year. It's the content is excellent. The guy that does it, his name is Stephen Nichols, brilliant guy, but his clothes are just really too big. So my group had a hard time. We always kind of made fun of his pants every session, but that's okay. Brilliant stuff though. Really, really good. And then I also would point you to a podcast. If this is something that interests you, check out this podcast. It's called This Cultural Moment. And in this one, it's a weekly podcast, and it talks through what is happening in our world today and how are people's worldviews being shaped and things like that. They're Christians that are putting this on, but the guy that really does this, he's from Australia. He's really got his finger on the pulse of what's going on in the world and how it's shaping the world around us. So go ahead and check those out. Those might be helpful to you. Well, thanks again for listening, everyone. I'm so glad that you did. Hopefully it was helpful and encouraging to you. You guys, I just want to tell you again, I am so thankful for each one of you and what you're doing with the people of our church. Thanks for loving them. Thanks for caring for them. Thanks for doing the hard work of discipling them. You guys are awesome. And so we hope that you will join us next time on the D Group Leader Podcast.